Tonight I'm going to preach a simple message. You say, preacher, all the messages you preach are simple. I know that. I'm a simple preacher. If you pay any attention at all to the sports scene, you know that this week the World Series ended. Took 7 games, and the Washington Nationals won their first championship in franchise history. It was also the first time that during a World Series that the visiting team won every game. All the victories were on the opponent's home field. Now, I know many of you tonight may not be much of a baseball fan, but my message tonight is on the premise that the game of baseball teaches us much about the Christian life. Paul used sports analogies as he talked about the Christian life. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, for example, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, hey, when I fight, I just don't want a shadow box. I want to hit somebody. I mean, that's how I fight. I fought a good fight. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Paul says, if you're going to be in a race, race to win. Run to win. And so he says in verse 26 of that same chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I therefore so run. If I'm going to be in a race, Paul says, I'm going to run to win. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he talks about wrestling. For we wrestle not just of flesh and blood, but principalities and the rulers of the darkness. So tonight, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to mention 10 things about baseball that illustrate some things in our Christian life. And so I'm going to encourage you to do 10 things tonight. So you're getting a triple blessing. You know, I usually only have 3 points. Well, no, I got 10. So you got 3 times 3 plus an extra one for good measure. So here we go. Number one, and you'll see after I get started how simple this message is. Number one, put on the uniform. Put on the uniform. When you go to a baseball game, you don't have to spend much time or much effort to figure out which player is on which team. All the players for each team wear the same uniform. And their uniform identifies what team they're on. In our Christian life, we need to identify what team we're on. We identify that we're on God's team, on Christ's team. We identify that through baptism. It's the first step of obedience. Has nothing to do with salvation, but it's a way of telling all that witness our baptism that we are identifying with Christ, that we're on his team. We identify that we're on Christ's team when we're involved in a church, when we get involved in the activities of the church, and when we support the church, and when we come to church. And we identify that we're on Christ's team by how we live our life. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When we leave the devil's team, and before we were on Christ's team, we were on the devil's team. But when we leave the devil's team, we should remove everything from our life that shows others that we're on the devil's team. That's what it means there, make not provision for the flesh. And we ought to live our life so that those that look at our life, it doesn't take them much time or it doesn't take them much effort to figure out whose team we're on. Amen. Put on the uniform of Jesus Christ. Number two, get equipped. When players join a team, they not only put on the uniform, they get a glove. They get some bats. They get in shape. They practice. They get ready to play. And again, that preparation for getting ready is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. The same thing needs to be true in our Christian life. We need to get ready and get equipped to live the Christian life. We need to get us a Bible, a King James Bible, by the way, and we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to talk to others about what we read in God's Word. We need to learn to pray. Pray by ourselves and pray with others. You know, in the game of baseball, younger players learn a lot from older players. I mean, they teach them. They give them hitting tips. They give them fielding tips. They give them tips for how to get through the season of 162 games. Listen to the words. Younger prayers can learn a lot from older prayers. We can learn how to pray like we ought to pray by listening to those that have prayed for years, how those pray. We need to come to Sunday school. We need to hear the teaching of God's Word. We need to do all we can to get ready to play. And again, it's not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. So, number two, get equipped. Number three, show up for the game. Can you imagine a baseball team trying to play without a third baseman? Or a baseball team trying to play without a left fielder? A baseball player can't hit, can't score runs, can't field grounders, can't catch fly balls unless they're on the field. The same thing is true in the Christian life. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. How can we claim to be on Christ's team when we don't even show up for the game? Now, hey, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, and that's all right, because I know you're not going to get mad at me. If I preached this on Sunday morning, there'd be a bunch of people that get mad at me. But how can you claim to be on Christ's team if you don't come to the game? And again, go back to the Sunday school lesson this morning. We talked about the gifts that God gives us, each one of us. He's given each one of us a gift. And every gift that God has put in this place is important for the team that's assembled here. If somebody's not here and not contributing the gift that God has given them for this church, the whole team suffers. So, show up for the game. And then number four, get in the game. Here's what I mean by this. On a baseball team, wherever a manager needs you to play, that's where the player ought to play. I mean, I've seen games where the score has been so lopsided that they've run out of pitchers in the last innings. And they've had infielders or outfielders have to pitch who maybe never have pitched before. They don't go too good, but, you know, they finish the game. The same thing is true in our Christian life. Wherever our manager, wherever the Lord Jesus Christ asks us to serve, we ought to say, I'd be glad to. And we go to that spot and serve in that function. Whether it's to be teaching Sunday school, whether it's giving, whether it's witnessing, whether it's passing out tracts, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's setting up tables and chairs. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can't do the things what you can do, but I can do what I can do. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Amen. Do it. If Jesus leads you to do something, do it. I had a lady come to me tonight and say, preacher, you're talking about gifts this morning. I think my gift is to teach. I need an opportunity to teach. We're going to find her an opportunity to teach. And that's what I'm talking about. Whatever our manager, the Lord Jesus Christ, leads you to do, do it. Do it. So get in the game. Number five, play hard. Play hard. The player who will not do his best, the player that will not give the full effort, may stay on the team, but in all probability will sit on the bench. They won't be in the starting lineup. The manager wants players that will give their all. The same is true in the Christian life. Jesus deserves our best. Amen. He deserves our full attention. He deserves our joyful zeal. Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, with your whole heart, as to the Lord, and not unto men. So, play hard. Number six, be a team player. Be a team player. On a baseball team, team players encourage those that are having bad days. On a baseball team, team players rejoice with those that are having good days. On a baseball team, team players don't desire glory for themselves. They want the team to succeed. They want the team to win. They want the team to prosper. The same is true in our Christian life. God, listen, God made us all part of this body. Again, going back to our Sunday school lesson this morning, He made us part of this body for others to help us and for us to help others. We're in this together. We're not in it for our glory. We're in it for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as team players, we need to encourage one another. As team players, we need to rejoice with one another. As team players, we need to lift one another up. Again, going back to Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So be a team player. Number seven, don't let errors and strikeouts define you. An infielder will occasionally flub a ground ball. I know those of us that are sitting at home watching TV, when we see him flub a ground ball, we say, my grandmother could have caught that ball. We see an outfielder drop a fly ball, and we say, my 8-year-old could have caught that fly ball. Players make errors. Batters strike out. They strike out. They may strike out more than once in the same game. But good players don't let their errors or their strikeouts discourage, deter, or defeat them. A good player shakes it off. A good player gets ready for the next chance to field the ball. A good player gets ready for the next tip, the next trip to home plate to bat. The same thing is true in our Christian life. There's going to be times that we blow it. There's going to be times that we fail. There's going to be times that we don't do what God wants us to do. We don't take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. In those times, we need to say, like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those times we fail, we shake it off. Those times we blow it, we shake it off. Those times we don't do what God gives us to do and we miss the opportunities that He's given us, we shake it off. And we get ready for the next opportunity that comes. We get ready for the next chance that we have to serve Him. Number eight, we need to think like a champion. Baseball players, when they go to the plate, here's what they think. I can hit this guy. I can hit this pitcher. If they go to the plate saying, boy, this guy's got a 108-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got a curveball that just breaks off. There's no way I'm going to be able to hit his pitches. You know what batters do that go to the plate with that attitude? They strike out. They strike out. A good batter goes to the plate and says, I don't care what this guy throws. I can hit it. Just come on. Give me your best. I'm going to hit it. Now, they may swing and miss, I mean, they may eventually strike out, but they're convinced when they step into the batter's box, I can hit whatever he throws. A good player doesn't come to the game and say, I'm a loser, and this team is a loser, and there's no way we're going to win the game today. A good player doesn't do that. A good player comes to the ballpark every day with the thought, we're going to beat them today. Team may have the worst record in baseball, and they may be playing the team with the best record in baseball, but they need to come to the ballpark thinking, hey, we can beat them. Stranger things have happened. We can beat them. The same thing is true in a Christian's life. We need to think like a winner. We need to think like a champion. We don't approach the day or the situation or the set of circumstances and say, Satan's got me on this one. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way I'm going to win this day or beat this situation or this set of circumstances. We need to approach every day, every situation, every set of circumstances with Philippians 4:13 in the back of our mind. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Doesn't matter what the devil throws, I can hit it. It doesn't matter what the situation or the set of circumstances look like. With Christ's help, I can get through it. I can beat it. I can win. Number 9, play hurt. Play hurt. Baseball players play through all sorts of aches and pains. Now, again, sometimes they have severe injuries and they have to go on the disabled list. But many keep playing through their hurt because the team needs them. So you got hurt a little bit by some criticism. So you got hurt a little bit by some unkind things that were said, some unjust comments that were made. So you got hurt a little bit by a misunderstanding that happened in the church. I'll tell you tonight, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, hey, they did things like that to me. What do you think they're going to do to you? You're my servants. I'm the master. They treated me like that. Do you expect to be treated any better? It didn't stop them. It didn't stop Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus played through hurt. So should we. And then number 10. It ain't over till it's over. Now, those of you that follow baseball know that the great Yankee catcher, Yogi Berra, that was one of his sayings. He had a lot of sayings like this. He one time says, it's deja vu all over again. And he was right when he said, and you'll have to think about that for a minute. You'll get it in a minute. It's deja vu all over again. But he was right when he said, it ain't over till it's over. As long as the game continues, there's always a chance to win. Players, good players, don't quit in the sixth or seventh inning just because they're behind. They play all 9 innings. And many a game that most of the fans have got up and left, and those that are watching on TV have turned it off because they've said there's no chance. The team that was far behind came from behind. They staged a miracle rally in the 8th and 9th inning and won the game. The same thing is true in the Christian life. It ain't over till God calls us home. Amen. It ain't over. As long as you're still walking on his earth, as long as you're still breathing his air, God has a way that you and I can serve him. God has a way that he wants us to serve him. And until he calls us home, until this life is over, we ought to keep doing what he's called us to do. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So don't quit. Don't quit. don't quit. Now, some of you may not like baseball at all, but I hope you'll be challenged by what it teaches us about the Christian life. Let's not fritter away the time that God has given us. Let's play. David said one time, let's play like men for Israel. Let's be men for Israel. Let's play like Christians and give God our best. Now, I would remind you tonight, before you can get in the game, before you can get on the team, and by the way, God wants you on his team. He wants you on his team. You got to get your sin problem taken care of. We're all sinners. None righteous, no, not one. And you can't be on God's team until you get your sin problem taken care of. Nothing we can do to take care of it. But Jesus gave us a way to take care of it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so tonight, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would tell you that if you admit that you're a sinner, and we all are, if you believe that Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sins, and then you ask him, he'll save you. In the book of Romans, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do that tonight, he'll save you. So, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, get on the team. He's ready to sign you up. You got to come by way of Christ. That's the only way to join the team. And if you're on the team, play ball. Play ball. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this service. The songs that we sang and the prayer that we offered up for the persecuted Christians. And Father, thank you for your word. And I pray tonight and from this simple message that we would be encouraged to live in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Help us to put on the uniform. Help us to get equipped. Help us to get into the game and play hard and play hurt. And Father, understand that it ain't over until it's over. That as long as we're still here, you have something for us to do, and we need to be busy doing it. I pray you bless this time of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken to hearts tonight, and if there's anyone that needs to come to the altar and get something settled or confirm a vow or whatever they need to do, I pray, Father, you'd help them do it. Just lead and direct. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.